Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Vipin Chaudhary. Thank you. You may begin.
Good afternoon. We are Vipin Chaudhary, Stefan Robilla, Mika Beck, and Amy Walton from the NSF Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or OAC. We are the program directors from OAC, managing the Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation Program, or CSSI. Several other program directors from other divisions are also in the room to answer any specific questions related to their division. In this webcast, we will provide a brief overview of the CSSI program and describe some of the most important things you need to know about submitting a proposal. Joining us to welcome you is Manish Parashar, Director of the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure at NSF.
Thank you, Vipin, and good afternoon. I'm delighted to welcome you to this webinar. The overarching mission of OAC, the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, is to realize an agile, integrated, robust, trustworthy, and sustainable CI ecosystem that drives new thinking and transformative discoveries in all areas of science and engineering, research, and education. Software and data services represent key components of the CI ecosystem and are central to our mission. The CSSI program, which was created through the integration of the Software Infrastructure for Sustained Innovation and the Data Infrastructure Building Block programs, is our flagship program focused on software and data services. As CSSI moves forward, it's very important that we focus on the services that are delivered. As a result, the current CSSI solicitation emphasizes this as a review criteria, focusing on what services will be delivered, how they will be delivered, how can they be used by the user community, and what metrics are associated with the usage. This webinar will provide you with details about the solicitation, as well as answer any questions you may have. I do hope you find this webinar informative. I will now turn it over to Vipin Chaudhary, Stefan Robilla, Mika Beck, and Amy Walton, who are the Cognizant Program Officers for the program. Over to you, Vipin.
Thanks, Manish. So this webinar is intended to orient the research community to the CSSI competition, summarizes the program and peer review criteria, and answer questions. Of course, the ultimate goal is to improve the quality of your proposal. Here is an outline of today's presentation. We will start with a description of the CSSI program, followed by an overview of the NSF 19-548 solicitation. We will then take questions from you, the audience. Some of the questions we have already received are included at the end of the presentation. This document will be available on the program website. Next, we talk about the CSSI program, its priorities and goals, and how we implement it. The CSSI program focuses on supporting robust, reliable, and sustainable data and software cyber infrastructure that will support and advance sustained scientific innovation and discovery. Thus, proposals are strongly encouraged to describe their approach to data management and quality software development through a defined software engineering process that includes software testing, the appropriate use of analysis tools and capabilities. There are a few minor changes to 2019 solicitation as compared to 2018. The proposals do not have to include software and data as a prefix in their title. The articulation and delivery of cyber infrastructure services and capabilities are emphasized and included in the solicitation-specific review criteria. Quantitative metrics with targets for delivery and usage of cyber infrastructure services and community creation are emphasized and included in the solicitation-specific review criteria. This section summarizing priorities for the collaborating NSF directorates and divisions has been updated for 2019. Instead of the standard 90-day notice for proposal submission, we have reduced the submission notice to 60 days due to minimal changes in this year's solicitation from 2018 solicitation. The CSSI program is guided by six principles. The project must explicitly address these principles, which translate into solicitation-specific criteria. The project must be science-driven, promoting science excellence, enabling fundamentally new scientific advances, and benefiting science and engineering communities beyond the participating communities. The project must be innovative, emphasizing unique NSF contributions, building the capability, capacity, and cohesiveness of a national CI ecosystem, and consider both the human and technical aspects of the CI. The project must be collaborative, fostering partnerships and community development, actively engage CI experts, specialists, and scientists working in concert with domain scientists who are users of CI. The project must be leveraged, building on existing recognized capabilities. The project must be strategic, with management plans and metrics that encourage measurement of progress and sharing of results. The project must be sustained, providing benefits beyond the participants and the lifetime of the award, and resulting in widely accessible long-term community cyber infrastructure. Cyber infrastructure for sustained scientific innovation is a cross-cutting program that involves program officers from every NSF directorate. Participating divisions and program officers are listed here, and several of our colleagues are attending today's webinar. The participant list can also be reviewed on the solicitation webpage. Within NSF, various organizations have additional specific information about their participation in this program. The Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or OAC, manages the CSSI program and is especially interested in proposals that enable new science and engineering not previously possible, contain innovation as an integral component of the project. Such research might encompass reproducibility, provenance, effectiveness, usability, and product adoption, adaptability to new technologies and to changing requirements, and the data and software development lifecycle processes used in the project. Build on existing community CI services and software, and leverage or complement other community cyber infrastructure projects. And seek to develop, deploy, and sustain foundational infrastructure components and interdisciplinary and omnidisciplinary computational tools and components. The solicitation has details on specific priorities at division level across various directorates. Instead of reading through those details, please refer to the solicitation website for details. Many of them are similar to 2018 solicitation, but others do have changes. We also recommend that you discuss your ideas with the appropriate program directors after emailing them a one-page summary. Next, we talk about this specific solicitation opportunity, including classes of investment, CI eligibility, and review criteria. The CSSI umbrella includes four different classes of investment. Only the first two investment classes are included in solicitation NSF 19-548, and other classes will not be covered in this webinar. First is the elements. This class of investment targets small groups that will create and deploy robust capabilities for which there is a demonstrated need that will advance one or more significant areas in science and engineering. The next class of investment is the framework implementations that targets larger interdisciplinary teams organized around the development and application of common infrastructure aimed at solving common research problems faced by NSF researchers in one or more areas of science and engineering, resulting in a sustainable community framework serving a diverse community or communities. The third class of investment is the planning grants for community cyber infrastructure, where the focus is on the establishment of long-term capabilities in cyber infrastructure, which would serve a research community or substantial size and disciplinary breadth. Finally, the fourth class of investment is the community cyber infrastructure implementations that focuses on the establishment of long-term hubs of excellence in cyber infrastructure and technologies, which will serve a research community of substantial size and disciplinary breadth. I will now cover the budget ranges by investment classes of proposals. The Elements Award shall not exceed a total of $600,000 and 3-year duration. Framework Implementation Awards shall range from $200,000 to $1 million a year and shall be 3 to 5 years in duration. Note that these are total budget numbers for projects which may include multiple collaborative proposals. Projects in the upper portion of this range must be exceptional in terms of scientific impact, and as with all proposals should be discussed with program officers from the divisions that fund the researchers that would be impacted. Proposed funding amounts should be commensurate with the work being proposed, the size of the community that will be affected, and the level of impact anticipated. Up to 25 element awards and up to 10 framework implementations awards are anticipated, subject to the availability of funds. With anticipated total funding of $46.5 million, up to $15 million is expected to be available for elements awards, and up to $31.5 million is expected to be available for framework implementation awards, subject to the availability of funds. Other divisions and directorates might supplement with additional funds. All proposals to this solicitation, namely the elements and framework implementations, have the same deadline, April 8, 2019. The deadline for next fiscal year solicitation is November 1, 2019, but we will only target deadlines for April 8 in today's webinar. We expect the review process lasting from May to July of this year and anticipate making announcement of awards in fall 2019. The eligibility criteria for CSSI program are as follows. Proposals may only be submitted by universities and colleges, non-profit, non-academic organizations, and NSF-sponsored, federally funded research and development centers, or FFRDCs, provided that they are not including costs for which federal funds have already been awarded or are expected to be awarded. The number of proposals per principal investigator, co-principal investigator, or senior personnel is limited to one. An individual may participate in a proposal as a principal investigator, co-principal investigator, or other senior personnel in at most one proposal for a given deadline. In the event that any individual exceeds this limit, any proposal submitted to this solicitation with this individual listed as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel after the first proposal is received at NSF will be returned without review. No exceptions will be made. Please review the solicitation for details. Some important aspects to note about the CSSI cover sheet. For the NSF unit of consideration, the division section should automatically be selected. From the drop-down list in Fastlane as the programs to consider the proposal, select Software Institutes as the program. It must be the only option. Grants.gov users should refer to section 6.1.2 on the NSF Grants.gov application guide for specific instructions on how to designate the NSF unit of consideration. For the proposal title, provide a short informative title for the proposed project. To assist NSF staff in sorting proposals for review, proposal titles should begin with elements, colon, or frameworks, colon, followed by the proposal title. An example title would be elements, colon, my project title. A second example title would be frameworks, colon, my project title. My colleague Stefan Robilla will now go over the supplemental documents required and the review criteria.
Thank you very much. The next slides talk about supplementary documents to be included in the proposal and the single copy document NSF will need for the merit review process. Additional supplementary documents include a data management plan and postdoctoral trainee mentoring plan if the project includes such trainees. This is a standard NSF requirement. CSSI reviewers will pay close attention to the data management plan. For framework implementation proposals, a management and coordination plan is also required with a 3-page limit. The specific roles of the principal investigators, co-principal investigators, other senior personnel, and paid consultants at all institutions involved must be outlined. Also, there must be a description of how the project will be managed across institutions and disciplines, identification of the specific coordination mechanisms that will enable cross-institution and cross and or cross-discipline scientific integration, and pointers to the budget line items that support these management and coordination mechanisms. Letters of collaboration, if any, should include documentation of funded or unfunded collaborative arrangements of significance to the proposal. Letters of collaboration should be limited to the stating of the intent to collaborate and should not contain endorsements or evaluation of the proposed project. The required format for letters of collaboration is in the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, the APPG. Not following the guidelines will result in your proposal being returned without review. The proposal must include a supplementary document of no more than 2 pages labeled Delivery Mechanism and Community Usage Metrics. The supplementary document should describe the following. Deliverables: does the proposed project clearly articulate the services and capabilities to be delivered by the project, and how they are to be delivered? NSF encourages exploration of various delivery mechanisms, including, but not limited to, those leveraging Exceed, Leadership Class Computing, OEC Software Institutes, Big Data Regional Innovation Hubs, individual organizational resources, and well-known public and private cloud services. Metrics. Does the proposed project clearly articulate quantifiable metrics for development and delivery of the services and capabilities to be delivered by the project and for the anticipated community adoption and usage? Are quantitative metrics with targets identified for each year of the award? This should be simple, but should also clearly show what the project will accomplish each year, the impact on science, and the breadth of the user community. Additional supplementary documents also include project personnel and partner institutions. These are required for all award categories. You must provide current, accurate information for all personnel and institutions involved in the project. NSF staff will use this information in the merit review process to manage conflicts of interest. The list must include all PIs, co-PIs, senior personnel, paid, unpaid consultants or collaborators, sub-awardees, postdocs, project-level advisory committee members, and writers of letters of support. See details in the solicitation. Additional single copy documents include the collaborators and other affiliations information. Collaborators and other affiliation information specified in the PAPPG should be submitted using the spreadsheet template found at the website. For each proposal, a completed spreadsheet for each PI, co-PI, or senior personnel must be uploaded directly into Fastlane in Excel or XLS format as a collaborator and other affiliations single copy document. NSF staff use the information in the merit review process to help manage reviewer selection. The spreadsheet will ensure the collaborator and other affiliations information as a common searchable format. Note the distinction between this information and the information in the previous slide, supplementary documents 2. The listing of all project participants is collected by the project lead and entered as a supplementary document, which is then automatically included with all proposals in the project. The collaborators and other affiliations information, meaning this document, is entered for each participant within each proposal and as a single copy document are available only to the NSF staff. See details in the solicitation. As for all proposals received by NSF, CSSI reviewers and panelists will be asked to consider the intellectual merit and broader impact for each proposal for their reviews, panel discussions, and panel summaries. In addition to these standard criteria, CSSI reviewers and panelists will also be asked to consider additional review criteria that are unique to the CSSI program. More on this in a few moments. When evaluating NSF proposals, reviewers are asked to consider what the proposers want to do, why they want to do it, how they plan to do it, how they will know if they succeed, and what benefits would accrue if the project is successful. These issues apply both to the technical aspect of the proposal, the intellectual merit, and the way in which the project may make broader contributions, the broader impact. In addition to the standard NSF review criteria, the proposal will be evaluated on CSSI-specific review criteria, namely, to what extent is the proposed project science-driven? How will the project outcomes fill well-recognized science and engineering needs of the research community and advance research capability within a significant area or areas of science and engineering? What will be the broader impacts of the project, such as the benefits to science and engineering communities beyond its initial targets, underrepresented communities, education, and workforce development? The project description should provide a compelling discussion of the potential to benefit its intended as well as broader communities. To what extent is the proposed project innovative? What innovative and transformational capabilities will the project bring to its target communities? How will the project integrate innovation and discovery into the project activities, such as through empirical research embedded as integral component of the project activities? Such research might encompass the reproducibility, provenance, effectiveness, usability, and adoption of the components, its adaptability to new technologies and to changing requirements, and the development lifecycle processes used in the project. To what extent does the proposed project involve close collaborations among stakeholders? How will the project activities engage cyber infrastructure experts, specialists, and scientists working in concert with the relevant domain scientists who are users of CI? To what extent does the proposed project build on existing recognized capabilities? How will the project activities build on and leverage existing NSF and national cyber infrastructure investments as appropriate? How well described are the project plans and system and process architecture? The project description should include high-quality management plans. The project plan should include user interactions and a community-driven approach and provide a timeline including a proof-of-concept demonstration of key components. The proposal must include a list of tangible metrics to be used to measure the success of the project activities and measure progress along the way. If the outcome of the project is software or data cyber infrastructure, the architecture of the CI and the engineering process to be used for the design, development, documentation, testing, validation, and release of the software, its deployment and associated outreach to the end user community, and the acceptance and evaluation plan that involves end users, all must be sufficiently described. The description of the CI architecture and processes should explain how security, trustworthiness, provenance, producibility, and usability will be addressed by the project and integrated into the proposed system and the engineering process, and how adaptability to new technologies and changing requirements will be addressed by the project and built into the proposed system as appropriate. To what extent does the project clearly articulate the services and capabilities to be delivered and how they are to be delivered? To what extent does the proposed project clearly articulate quantifiable metrics for development and delivery of the services and capabilities to be delivered by the project and for the anticipated community adoption and usage? Are quantitative metrics with targets identified for each year of the award? How well does the project address the achievement of sustained and sustainable impacts? The project description should address how the project outcomes and its activities will have long-term impacts and how these will be sustained beyond the lifetime of the award as appropriate. If the outcome of the project is software or data cyber infrastructure, the proposal should identify what license will be used for the released CI and why this license has been chosen. PIs who have been previously funded under previous CI awards should show quantifiable evidence of the use, impact, and sustainability of the previously funded work and include a citation to be published to the published CI in their biographical sketches as one of the relevant products, if appropriate. A competitive CSSI proposal will identify science and engineering challenges where the proposed cyber infrastructure enables fundamental new science advances and describe how the proposed project fosters partnerships and community development that will have a significant impact on science and engineering research. The proposal will indicate how the proposed cyber infrastructure builds capability, capacity, and cohesiveness of a national CI ecosystem and provide a compelling discussion of the cyber infrastructure's potential use by a wider audience and its contribution to a national cyber infrastructure. We have now completed the formal portion of the presentation. Before opening the telephone lines to questions from the audience, we would like to address a few of the questions we have already received. A key question, and a major change from prior solicitation, concerns the limits on the number of proposals an individual may participate in under this solicitation, NSF 19-548. An individual may participate as PI, co-PI, or other senior personnel on at most one proposal across the elements and framework implementations for this solicitation. Thus, if an individual participates on an elements proposal, he or she may not participate on a framework implementations proposal and vice versa. Note that any individual whose biographical sketch is provided as part of the proposal will be considered as senior personnel in the proposed activity, with or without financial support from the project. In the event that any individual exceeds this limit, any proposal submitted to this solicitation, with this individual listed as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel after the first proposal is received at NSF, will be returned without review. No exceptions will be made. There has been some confusion as to the two deadlines in the solicitation of April 8, 2019 and November 1, 2019. You may participate in submitting proposals to both deadlines as these fall into different fiscal years for NSF. So, you can be PI, co-PI, or senior personnel in one proposal for both April and November submissions. But note that you can only submit exactly one to each of these deadlines. Proposals must be received by 5 p.m. submitters local time on the established deadline date. Failure to submit by 5 p.m. submitters local time will result in the proposal not being accepted. Please carefully read and follow the instructions provided in the solicitation itself and the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, EAPPG. If you need additional help preparing and submitting your proposal, we recommend that you contact your institution-sponsored project office. You may use either grants.gov or Fastlane to apply. OIC recognizes that software and data infrastructure constitute fundamental infrastructure that cross-cuts academic, government, civic, and commercial organizations. The program encourages proposals to explore novel partnerships beyond academia, wherever beneficial and permissible within the guidelines of the NSF Proposal and Awards Policies and Procedures Guide. So with respect to what types of organizations are allowed to submit proposals, universities and colleges, universities and 2- and 4-year colleges, including community colleges accredited in and having a campus located in the U.S., acting on behalf of their faculty members. Such organizations also are referred to as academic institutions. Not profit, not academic organizations, independent museums, observatories, research labs, professional societies, and similar organizations in the U.S. associated with educational or research activities. NSF-sponsored federally funded research and development centers, or FFRDCs, provided that they are not including costs for which federal funds have already been awarded or are expected to be awarded. The next question is on how can other organizations participate? Organizations eligible to serve as sub-awardees are all organizations eligible under the guidance of the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide. Here are a couple more questions. How can a proposal integrate industry collaboration into the project? Industry participants may be included as sub-award within the proposal. Industry investigators may serve as co-PIs or senior personnel on a proposal, or this CPAPPG Part 1 E3. Industry participants may be unfunded collaborators. Industry participation should be integrated throughout the management plan. The next question is, can a foreign organization submit a proposal? NSF rarely provides support to foreign organizations. NSF will consider proposals for cooperative projects involving U.S. and foreign organizations, provided support is requested only for the U.S. portion of the collaborative effort. The next two questions address the differences between this and other solicitations. How do CSSI proposals differ from the computational and data-enabled science and engineering and OAC core proposals? CDSNE and OAC core emphasize research in rather than the development of cyber infrastructure systems. CSSI focuses upon development of data and software systems that support research. And finally, how are data proposals to CSSI different from HDR proposals for harvesting data revolution? HDR will conduct new research into data-intensive approaches while CSSI will develop innovative mechanisms to deliver these approaches to the community in a robust way. HDRPI may develop prototypes for testing their methods, but in CSSI, it has to go beyond prototyping and has to serve the community with clear metrics and goals for delivery, usage, and community development. On behalf of the National Science Foundation and the CSSI team, we thank you for participating in this webinar. The slides and the scripts for this webcast, as well as an audio recording, will be available on the website. On that page, you will need to look for this webcast along the list of events. I invite you your questions now via email or via telephone to Mika Beck, Vipin Chaudhry, Stefan Robil, or Amy Walton. Please use the email address as the preferred mode of inquiry. You can also find contact details for program officers from other NSF directorates who are involved in the CSSI program on the solicitation webpage. We are now opening the lines for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question by phone, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly. Your name is required to introduce your question. If you need to withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question by phone, please press star 1. It will take a few moments for questions to come through. Please stand by. And again, as a reminder, you can press star 1 on your phone and record your name if you have a question. One moment, please. Our first question comes from Ashok. Your line is open.
Hi, Ashok.
Hi. So I have a question. We have the intellectual merit, right? And normally in a research project, and intellectual merit relates to the intellectual merit of the project. Here, since it is more of software development, is the intellectual merit of research that can be enabled by the cyber infrastructure, or is it just a contribution of the project itself?
So the intellectual merit is of the proposal. Right. So if you are, for example, trying to just implement a database, and that could have a tremendous impact on a domain, but there is no innovation involved in the database creation, then that wouldn't have much intellectual merit towards this project. So truly the intellectual merit is for the proposal.
Okay. I don't know if I can ask a follow-up question. This one is innovation rather than research, right? So in some sense, I think of innovation as not having a risk, but the research has a risk. So basically, you would have the intellectual merit would be, I would assume, not as dramatic as it would be in a research topic.
So research is not the risk we are taking in this particular program, but delivery and getting to the community is a major risk. So you have to have plans how to mitigate that risk.
Okay, thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Ganesh. Your line is open.
Hi, Ganesh.
Hi, Bipin. This is a question regarding areas considered. So is robotics software research in scope? So in particular, reproducibility, verifiability of robotic controllers, say, designed using reinforcement learning algorithms and their implementations. So that's my question. Thanks.
Right. So I think at a high level, yes, it is within scope, but I would recommend that you talk to program directors within engineering to see if that is within their scope.
Okay.
But any sort of innovation which leads to increasing the community or servicing that community is certainly within scope from OAC perspective.
Okay. So I'll contact the IAS program director, I guess.
Correct.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Walker-Loud. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. How are you? There was emphasis placed on building upon previously existing CI infrastructure. I was wondering if there is a web page where we can look for that previously existing infrastructure to see if we can use it or build on it.
Unfortunately, no. There's no such location where you can get all the cyber infrastructure that has been created. But a good way might be to do award searches in specific areas to figure out what is in place.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question will come from Bill Sachs. Your line is open.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, thanks. Can this be used to support adding new functionality to an existing software project or package where that project is already receiving some funding but not for that specific new functionality? Or does this typically fund totally new software projects?
It can fund adding new functionality. And, of course, you want to show by adding that new functionality what science you're enabling and how you're increasing the community or meeting the needs of that community.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question will come from Andreas Miller. Your line is open.
Andreas.
Hey, so you're focusing here on innovation a lot, and I'm wondering, is there any room for, like, maintaining existing cyber infrastructure here or anywhere else? I don't know of any other solicitation that allows, like, maintaining existing cyber infrastructure without innovating.
Just purely maintaining is not within the scope of CSSI.
But there's no other call that has it in scope, right?
So I don't remember offhand, but I do believe there are programs in certain divisions and directorates which have the specific purpose of maintaining these large infrastructures.
But if the infrastructure is cross-directorate, there's nothing.
Not that I'm aware of, but a lot of these large infrastructures do span more than one directorate in general.
All right. Thank you.
The next question comes from Zheshuang. Your line is open.
Hi. Can you say a little bit more about the November deadline? Do you have a separate funding call webinar for the November one?
Yes, we will have another webinar closer to the timeline when the November 1 proposals are due.
With a note that the solicitation is the same,
right?
So we do not
okay.
expect. Yes.
And the November 1, when will the award actually be given? It'll be sometime next year, I guess.
Sorry, what was the question?
So for the November deadline, when will the award actually be announced?
So it is already announced.
The awards. The awards.
Oh, the awards.
The actual, yeah.
Yeah, so the awards typically, we take up to 6 months.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
And as a reminder, you can press star 1 on your phone and record your name if you have a question. Our next question comes from Raojing Qing. Your line is open.
Hi, Liping. This is Raojing. I have a question. Could you talk a little bit more about this element and framework? I'm not sure how I can judge what is a small group instead of a bigger group. What kind of volume you're basically looking at in terms of the number of PIs or?
Okay, so there is really no constraint on the number of PIs. However, there's some conceptual difference between elements and frameworks. Let me try to give you a scenario of what might constitute as an elements proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So you as a researcher have, written a paper and you've created a prototype to test your theory, and you see that a lot of people write emails to you asking for that prototype.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good way to get into the elements case. So it is this software that you have created or the cyber infrastructure, which is going to be useful to many other PIs. And so you want to now enable for this software to be robust so that you can actually deliver that and they can just download or it's available on the web in some sort of delivery mechanism. So that would be an elements proposal. It's typically small. It is software which may not be widely used at this point, but clearly there is an interest from the community to do that. And so the frameworks, on the other hand, are usually the case where you may have an elements proposal and you see that it's suddenly becoming very popular and there are new architectures out there and you need to scale that. That may be one mechanism to go for the frameworks. Other examples might be you build that software for a particular domain and then you find that, oh, this software can actually very easily be adapted to other domains and I need to do some more work to do that. That would be another way to have a frameworks proposal.
Mm-hmm.
A third form might be, well, to solve a big scientific problem, you might need to have many different softwares from different domains to come together and work in a coherent manner. So it might be that you have multiple possibly element proposals, people come together and integrate all of these into a bigger framework. That would be another way of doing a frameworks proposal. The scope of the size of framework is clearly much larger, and the community that typically needs to reach should be much larger. You normally have to show that there exists a community for frameworks, and quantitative measure of that is always desirable.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that sort of clarifies the difference between elements and frameworks.
So may I just follow up with the elements just related? So I was wondering, does the program fund, for example, and if I develop an algorithm, I wanted to make it more robust for the other people to use, of course, there's some innovation in terms of making it more robust. Would that be within the scope of the fund of the program?
Yes. So you want to make it robust, you want to make it usable,
mm-hmm.
you want to reach out to the community. So the goal really is that you have to show a mechanism of delivery and you have to have a way of measuring that. And that's
okay.
Why if you notice there are two extra pages that I provided for delivery and also the community usage metrics. So those mechanisms have to be talked about. Because it is elements, you may not have already done that, but there needs to be a plan, and a plan that, you know, makes sense.
So I would add to Vipin's notes that you have to remember that the purpose is not simply improving something. You have to understand who will use this and who will contribute to your cyber infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sufficient just to continue development without understanding how will this impact the community. And you have to have in mind whether, you know, in case of elements, it could be a planned community. In case of frameworks, there has to be an identifiable and, you know, existing community. But that community has to exist at the end of your project.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, in both of these cases, you don't want to build a robust software that will be used only by your research group or you.
Mm-hmm.
It is a cyber infrastructure that is built for the community. And
so,
you may be one of the users of it.
So the community also.
It's also possible that you may not have built the initial software.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is a huge need for that software by the community. So you can actually take something that is available and make it available to the community.
Gotcha. So the community could also contribute to the cyber infrastructure that I built.
Absolutely. You want to engage the community. You want to get what their needs are. Two, you want to also create a sustainable cyber infrastructure. And what we found is if you are or your group is the only personnel involved in creating this software and rest everyone is a user, what happens if you decide not to or move on to other things?
Gotcha.
That's not going to sustain. So what we found is if you involve the community in developing the cyber infrastructure, you can walk away from it and there's no impact. The community sort of takes hold of that.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Ayan Banerjee. Your line is open.
Hi, Ayan.
Hi. I just heard the question being answered from the previous participant. So, tailing on that, if I wanted to know more about the community. So there can be many different types of community, right? Research community, software development community. But another can be social community, such as some community with some disabilities. So what does it include when you say community? Does it include community which are not really research community, but some community, social community with disabilities who can contribute to data?
Absolutely. And there are specific divisions and directorates within NSF who target that. So you would want to talk to program directors in those directorates.
Okay.
I would want to make sure that I also specify that you still have to remember that your project has to be anchored in solid science and answer specific scientific questions. So it's not simply developing a service for a community. So while we do not define communities to be researcher communities, you still should not forget that your project, your cyber infrastructure has to address.
Yeah, it has to be science driven.
Right.
Right.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
The next question, we have a follow-up from Andre. Your line is open.
Hi, Andre.
Hello. I was building on the question about enhancing existing cyber infrastructure.
Right.
So I'm working in a broad Lattice QCD community. There's lots of software developed by people all over, supported through university grants that come from DOE and NSF. If you're building on existing cyber infrastructure, I just want to make sure there's no requirement that existing infrastructure was purely NSF funded, but if it's you're just adding functionality that does not exist, that's sufficient.
The primary goal of CSSI is that it should target researchers who are NSF researchers. Now, those researchers could also be DOE or DOD researchers, and that is fine. But we typically don't support research that is not targeted to NSF. For example, if you were doing some disease-specific things, well, NIH might be more into that, right? And if it is beyond the scope NSF, then that's clearly out of scope of CSSI. But there are many scientific disciplines where you will have DOE, DOD, NIH, NSF, all of that sort of comes into play.
I would also make the point of just being careful about software licensing that might come from previous sponsors because the NSF product, if it depends on the product of previous development, would have to, as a whole, meet the requirements which are in the PAPG, the guide.
Can I ask quickly, so I've been developing under an open BSD, a modified BSD license, so everything's open and public. Is that, I assume NSF likes open software, but I haven't read the regulations yet.
Right. So actually we do not require any specific type of license. You have to convince the panelists and us that you are actually creating value. So it does not mandate a particular license. However, you need to clearly articulate what license that is.
Okay, thank you.
And going back to Vipin's notice with respect to the type of science that would be enabled, this is the perfect time for you to identify the scientific areas that your cyber infrastructure would support and engage with the program director or directors lined up with those scientific disciplines. So the solicitation has specific interests, list specific interests from other parts of NSF, and you must ensure that your cyber infrastructure is aligned with those.
And again, as a reminder, to ask a question at this time, you can press star 1 on your phone and record your name when prompted. Our next question comes from Maxim Belkin. Your line is open.
Hi, I have two questions. So
yeah.
First, you provided instructions for the proposal titles, but you also encouraged submitting collaborative proposals.
Right.
So titles for collaborative proposals must begin with collaborative research. So what is the right order of proposal, this title prefixes?
So we've seen combinations. You can have elements, colon, collaborative proposal, colon, the title, or you could have collaborative, colon, elements, colon, the proposal title. Both of those are okay.
Okay, thank you. And my second question, so my understanding is that science is at the core of this proposal, but oftentimes the important component is actually training people on using a specific tool or something like that. So do you consider developing infrastructure for training tools as part of your?
So training per se, we have other program solicitations from OAC which focus on training. CSSI is not targeted towards training.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Minka Shomer. Your line is open.
Hello. Hey, you mentioned that the industry can be a partner. And in this case, the software, the prototype was patented by a company. And then, so they are developing like this machine learning programs that can identify features related to the patient tissue. And so when we form, I'm not so sure it's a fit for this program or not, but because it sounds like if we can further develop this program that can greatly benefit the biomedical research. And however, this is the industry with a licensed and potentially eventually it's going to be proprietary and then software. So how to manage that kind of relationship? Secondly, I'm not so sure if it's fit for ASF or SBIR. And thirdly, there's another thing related to we're using human patient tissues. I'm not so sure how to manage that kind of patient. This was a great benefit, but again, we understand that getting a patient with that's going to be another touchy kind of privacy issues.
Okay, so let me address the second one first, and then we'll go back to the first one. So you talked about human tissues and so on. If that is within the scope of NSF, you need to talk to the appropriate program director there to see if it applies. The aspects of privacy and security in general is very applicable to many other domains. Now, the first question you had was, you have a company from which you are licensing a particular software. But so long as you have a mechanism to provide that to the science users, that should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. But you have to make it available to the scientific community. Well, it's likely they would have to pay for it, but that's fine. You have to convince that you are able to enable new science to happen because of that. And there needs to be innovation in your part of the work. It can't be that you are just taking that software and then putting it on a portal and delivering it to others. That is what is your component of innovation within that. So maybe the software that you have is only a portion of the solution that you are creating.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, because, yeah, the software need a lot more data coming from biology samples to make it better. So that's where we biology or biomedical researcher comes in. Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
The next question comes from Betra Schulz. Your line is open.
Hello. I just have a quick question. Are all the funds provided from the CSSI program supposed to be just used for the development, or if, for example, the infrastructure also requires some experiments to parameterize or to verify the tool, can the funding also be used for collaborators to perform experiments to improve the tool?
Right. So you could request for a certain infrastructure, of course, limited amount, but you have to justify why you really need that and you can't have access to that elsewhere. But fundamentally, you may request to have very specialized equipment that is required.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Ying Liu. Your line is open.
I have a question regarding the community. So my understanding is we are developing a software or a server infrastructure so we can form a new community. And then this community could be researchers, they could be engineers, or they could be a group of general public. But from what your explanation, I think you meant this is a community of researchers. Is that correct?
Yes.
So in that case, if this infrastructure actually can host the researchers, but they will also benefit, industry, then they are the users. They probably want to be the developers. Will that be counted as this kind of cyber infrastructure you are looking for?
Right. So primarily, it should help the researchers and NSF-supported researchers. It can, as a byproduct, also help industry, and that's always good. But if you are targeting only industry users, but not NSF researchers, that's not something that CSSI is targeted towards.
And I would point also, I think that the broader impacts in particular, the elements that you're talking about might be relevant there. Those other communities that are impacted more broadly.
Yes, there's a distinction because I think the community can be one is a developer, the other is users or who will be benefited. I think if this benefit only researchers, that's different from it will benefit both community, but researchers can use it, but the other general public may not use it, but they would just benefit from it. But thank you for the explanation.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
We are showing no further questions at this time.
So I wanted to clarify, in the last slide, we had the email address to be NSF CSSI queries at nsf.gov for questions. There's a typo there. The NSF hyphen portion should not be there. But we'll revise these, and on the website, you will see the correct email address when you look it up probably tomorrow.
And it's also in the solicitation.
Yeah, the solicitation has the correct one.
Stay online for a few more minutes.
We are still showing no further questions at this time.
We'll wait a couple of minutes. We're happy to answer more questions if you have any.
Thank you. And again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question at this time, you can press star 1 on your phone and record your name when prompted. One moment, please. We do have questions coming in. One moment, please. The next question will come from Chris Carruthers. Your line is open.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just had a question regarding PI eligibility. Are DOE researchers allowed to serve as co-PI or senior personnel on a university-led proposal?
So if you have a rank within the university and you are not paid by DOE during that time. So suppose you are 25% budgeted for this, you should not be double dipping with DOE.
Correct.
Right. Then you're eligible.
But I was, if I had collaborators in this case who were work for the DOE, would they be eligible, like industry members, to serve as a co-PI?
Well, you can have a sub-award to them, but they won't be co-PIs.
Got it. They would be listed, I guess, as senior personnel in this case.
Right.
And there is a requirement if they're at a lab that their contribution be unique, I believe, the terminology.
Yep, correct.
Right.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Mamta Singh. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Mamta Singh. I have a question. Both the solicitation and today's webinar focused mostly on software and data as part of cyber infrastructure.
Right.
My question is, are other things such as, you know, computer architectures, including hardware accelerators, which would then run some specialized software and algorithms, be also acceptable as part of cyber infrastructure?
Yeah, so CSSI does not target, for example, cyber infrastructure, which is building a cluster and so on.
Okay, but what if it's smaller scale, you know, FPGA-based accelerators, which are, they're not supercomputers, but they're smaller machines that can be added on to existing computers along with specialized software for, you know, giving unique capabilities to physicists and astronomers, would
right.
that be within the scope?
Right. So if you're building cyber infrastructure, which is primarily software, say in your case, for a system which has some add-in FPGA cards or certain types of GPUs, the primary focus there is then developing that software.
Mm-hmm.
We are not promoting that you go and build new FPGA cards, for example, and create
right.
a cluster of those. But
right.
to have access to those kind of infrastructures, like with GPUs or FPGAs, there are existing NSF facilities which have that. But if you need to have something for development within the lab,
okay.
you can certainly request, but you want to try and justify why you need that in your lab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Tyrus. Your line is open.
Hi. Can single PIs apply for NSSC, or do you have to have a collaboration?
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
Can a single PI apply for an SSC grant?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great.
Just make sure that you have a clear plan on how your project will be developed with sound practices for software or data development, and also involve communication with the community. So these are important aspects. But the collaborators do not need to have roll-up KPIs or collaborative proposals.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, we already have other people who are using our software.
Thank you, and we are showing no further questions at this time. Another question coming in. One moment, please. The next question comes from Inan Artha. Your line is open.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I have a question. I'd like to get more of your comments on the innovation and deliverable part of this Element project. So let's say if we are proposing to innovate something new, I think that is less encouraged than like having something and trying to deploy it in a certain science context. So is this correct, or can we say that the deliverable part of the project is more important than innovation part?
No, both are required. So you want to innovate and develop cyber infrastructure, but you want to develop that for the community. And how do you deliver to the community, and how do you quantify that the community is actually using it as engaged? So the delivery mechanism is very important. Putting software on the website and just counting number of downloads doesn't indicate whether that cyber infrastructure is being used. So delivery mechanism and the usage are extremely important.
I see. But if we, let's say, propose something new that we have not done before, that involves kind of a research failures risks.
Okay.
So is it?
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. But yeah, if we are not recommending you do research in this proposal.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah, we should have already done the research before.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yes.
We're showing no further questions at this time. And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you can press star one on your phone and record your name when prompted. One moment, please, for any additional questions. At this time, we are still showing no further questions.
We'll wait one more minute, and if we don't hear any more questions, we'll end the webinar.
Thank you. And again, to ask a question, you can press star one on your phone.
Okay, if we don't have any more questions, I think we can end the webinar. Thank you all for joining the webinar. The audio and the presentation with the changes to that email will be posted very soon. And as always, feel free to get in touch with us either by email or phone. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.